Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be focusing in chapter 5, but we start in chapter 4, beginning in verse 41. Then Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east. Someone could flee there who committed manslaughter, killing his neighbor accidentally without previously hating him. He could flee to one of these cities and stay alive. Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau land, belonging to the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead, belonging to the Gadites, or Golan in Bashan, belonging to the Manassites. This is the law Moses gave the Israelites. These are the decrees, statutes, and ordinances Moses proclaimed to them after they came out of Egypt, across the Jordan, in the valley facing Beth Peor, in the land of King Sihon of the Amorites. He lived in Heshbon, and Moses and the Israelites defeated him after they came out of Egypt. They took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two Amorite kings who were across the Jordan to the east. From Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Valley as far as Mount Sion, that is Hermon, and all the Araba on the east side of the Jordan as far as the Dead Sea below the slopes of Pisgah. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances I am proclaiming to you, proclaiming as you hear them today. Learn and follow them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. He did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face from the fire on the mountain. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to report the word of the Lord to you because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow in worship to them and do not serve them because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's iniquity to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and so that you may prosper in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give dishonest testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Lord spoke these commands in a loud voice to your entire assembly from the fire, cloud, and total darkness on the mountain. He added nothing more. He wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. All of you approached me with your tribal leaders and elders when you heard the voice from the darkness and while the mountain was blazing with fire. You said, "Look, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that God speaks with a person, yet he still lives. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For who out of all mankind has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the fire as we have and lived? Go near and listen to everything the Lord our God says. Then you can tell us everything the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. He said to me, I have heard the words that these people have spoken to you. Everything they have said is right. If only they had such a heart to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that they and their children would prosper forever. Go and tell them, return to your tents. But you, stand here with me, and I will tell you every command, the statutes and ordinances you are able to teach them, so that they may follow them in the land I am giving them to possess. Be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are not to turn aside to the right or the left. Follow the whole instruction the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, prosper, and have a long life in the land you will possess. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
What do you believe about God's law? Is God's law good? The psalmist certainly says so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God has given us law, and all of us have broken it. If you read the book of Galatians, it becomes very, very clear that anyone who tries to be justified in God's sight by what we do will fail, because we are all, by nature, law breakers. And so the law, we read in Galatians, shows us our need for Jesus. Please understand that whether you're reading Genesis or Revelation or any part of the scripture between, the point is about Jesus. All of it points to him. Jesus even said so. He said to the religious people of his day, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But they testify of me. It's all about Jesus. So as we look at this, we need to realize that the bottom line is not that the law isn't good, it's that the law cannot save because we are sinners. And what the law does is to show us that we are out of line. If you are walking through a mall and you see a kiosk advertising a chiropractor's service, one of the things it's likely to have is a chart showing sort of what your spine should look like, and they may invite you to stand there and discover that you are out of alignment. Guess what? They do that because they never, ever, ever have to say to anybody, wow, you're good. Everybody's out of alignment. We are all like sheep who've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The reason that there is hope for us is because God didn't just give us his law. But does that mean, well, forget it, move on? I mean, what's the point in knowing the law if you and I are lawbreakers? Well, there are many good things about the law, and if you really are wondering about that, read Psalm 119. Okay, longest chapter in the Bible, celebrates how wonderful God's law is. But I want us to see just a few things in the verses we've read this morning. First of all, at the end of chapter 4, the cities of refuge on the eastern side of the Jordan are mentioned. Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east, because those would be some of the tribal lands, and he's about to give the law in the context of a geographical point and a point in history. So before we get to the end of chapter 4, verse 44 and following, he mentions the fact that God established a city in the land of each of those three tribal areas. And this is, again, a reminder. He's going to talk more about the cities of refuge in Deuteronomy chapter 19, but we're not there yet, okay? So we'll say more about that later on. Let me just say this about the cities of refuge now. The cities of refuge were a place where a person who accidentally killed someone could flee for refuge and live there safely. If you made it to the city of refuge, you didn't have to die. Now, if you said, you know, well, listen, I'd like to have some time to say goodbye to everybody. You know, after all, I am innocent of wrongdoing as far as my intention is concerned. And so I'm going to have some time to wrap things up and all that. Hey, if you're not in the city of refuge and you committed manslaughter accidentally, involuntary manslaughter, the relatives of that person who was killed can come and kill you, and it's legal. Is that kind of jarring? Okay. This was a place you could flee, not if you were guilty of murder, but if you accidentally killed somebody that you didn't have anything against. Well, why, if you didn't mean to, couldn't you just go to court and show that, you know, you didn't mean to? There's still a consequence. And what that did was to show the profound value of human life in the sight of God. It showed the value of justice, having a system, not just letting everybody do what's right in their own eyes. Well, what do you think would be appropriate? God told them what was appropriate. This is what you do. And it also showed the value of having a peaceful society where people weren't constantly taking an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. By the way, God's law that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was not an insistence on people seeking vengeance. It was a limit on the kind of vengeance you could get. Okay? Because normally, if somebody took out my eye, I don't want to take their eye. I want to take their head. Is that clear? If they took out my tooth, I still want to take their head. Okay? Violence escalates. God said no. If there's going to be payback, it's going to be commensurate with what was taken. Now, there are other times when God says if somebody steals something, they have to restore a multiple of what was stolen. The purpose was to promote a peaceful society, an orderly life. So even this reference to the cities of refuge, this is not some mean thing on the part of God. It is a good thing, a gracious thing, as is all of God's law. The things that God tells us are for our good. During the week, I've been teaching from 2 Samuel for the children at our school. And one of the things I've been emphasizing as we look at 2 Samuel also has to do with the law of God, and that is that the motive behind God's giving us the law is love. It's like when a parent says to a child, I've used this illustration twice in the last week, so I ought to use it one more time, just to be sure that those of you who didn't hear it, hear it. When a parent says, don't touch that, it's hot, they're not being mean. They're not trying to spoil a child's fun. They're not trying to ruin a child's aspirations. When a parent says, don't touch that, it's hot, it's because the parent loves the child and is a responsible parent trying to prevent the child's injury. And when God gives us his law and he says, do this, don't do this, it is for our good. The fact that we don't live up to it doesn't make the law a bad thing. So, when you look at this, and we're about to hear the Ten Commandments, when you look at this, understand these commandments were not given in order to shame us, in order to injure us, in order to thwart anything good for us. Then, verse 44 and following of chapter 4, we get a reminder of where this happened. Where is this proclamation of the law taking place? This is the law Moses gave the Israelites. These are the decrees, statutes, and ordinances Moses proclaimed to them after they came out of Egypt, while they were still across the Jordan in the valley facing Beth Peor in the land of King Sihon of the Amorites. They are standing in a place where God has displayed his glory. They are receiving a word from God who has just given them victory over God's enemies. The Amorites had been attacked by the Israelites when the Amorites came out to fight because God put it in their heart to fight. Because God had said generations before that the day would come when he would destroy the Amorites. And now that day had come. So these people, the descendants of those brought out of slavery, are now about to go in to the promised land. And God is reminding them through Moses of the law that he's already given them. Moses is doing something by way of reminder. You and I need to be reminded. I got up last night at about 2:45 and went downstairs finally because I couldn't remember all 10 of the commandments. Now, I know the 10 commandments, but apparently not at 2:45. And the thing that was really frustrating was I couldn't remember which one I wasn't remembering. Do you know what I mean? I'm sitting there counting, and it's like, it was very frustrating. About a half a dozen times I went through. And I'm not going to tell you which one I couldn't remember. Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. That was the one I was missing. Now, the thing that really makes me uncomfortable about that is that I've often said that if you can't remember one of the commandments, that's probably the one you're not obeying. But when all of a sudden it's turned around on me, I'm like, hey, I don't do that. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he clarified the extent to which God's law should convict us. Because he says, you know you're not supposed to murder, but I'm telling you, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer at heart. You know you're not supposed to commit adultery, and you may congratulate yourself and say, I never have. But if you look at a woman lustfully, you're an adulterer at heart. And when we start looking at the commands like that, all of a sudden we realize, we are out of alignment. We need a Savior. Our behavior will never justify us in the sight of God. So this is not going to be an exhaustive treatment. I hope you don't think after we go through the Ten Commandments this morning as part of a sermon from Deuteronomy that now we're done with the Ten Commandments. I will tell you that some years ago when there was the big brouhaha about Judge Roy Moore and the display of the Ten Commandments in a courthouse in Alabama, that a friend of mine decided, okay, if the government's not going to allow us to display the Ten Commandments in the courthouses, let's at least be sure that we have them in our churches. And so he went around to evangelical churches, Bible-believing churches, churches that are very public about the fact that we believe the Bible from cover to cover. And he said, do you have a copy of the Ten Commandments on display anywhere in your church building? And they were like, well, no, I guess we don't. Now, these were people who were upset about the fact it wasn't going to be in the courthouse. But they didn't even have it at their church. And so he would say to these pastors, can you list for me the Ten Commandments? And they said, well, of course. And they'd usually get about six, sometimes seven, seldom eight, rarely nine, and almost nobody got all ten. When he sat in my study and he told me that, I thought, that is just disgraceful. Please, Charlie, don't ask me to recite them. Because, you know, it's one of those things. I think I know. I've got seven kids, okay? Not ten, seven. I have seven kids. And if you were to ask me, what are their birthdays? I know their birthdays. I know them. Just give me a minute. You know, I know my kids, but our minds just don't work well. You know how you can keep it fresh in mind? Repetition. That's the book of Deuteronomy. It's reminding them of what they've already been given, because what they were given was a treasure. So as we go through these commandments, let's remember that God is reminding us of a good gift that he gave us.
That's all the time we have for today, but we hope that you're enjoying this message, and we hope that you'll tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will allow us to continue to care for and minister to the children who come to the ranch from crisis family situations. For more information on this ministry, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, wvr.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.